Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout.
Wastelanders and Vault Dwellers, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. It is the end of May, which means it is time to hang out with our patrons. This is your host, Tom or Robots, and me and a whole bunch of patrons today will be discussing some of the strangest mysteries in Fallout. And thanks, big shout out to Pumpkin King here, who helped pull together a list. We've got a big list of even more than just the ones that we're going to be able to get through today, but we're going to start taking a chunk out of this list and discussing some of the things that we know a little bit about, but make us go, well, there's got to be more to the story than just this. So I'm excited to introduce all of our patrons. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read through everybody's names and welcome everybody. And then on the count of three, you are all going to make the sound of Nernroot. And I know that's an Elder Scrolls thing, but that's one of the things we're talking about is the Nernroot on the Pridwin. So at the same time, everyone's going to make the sound of Nernroot. And so we've got Lil Green, Cooper, Pumpkin King, Adam Bonnie Baby. I'm already stumbling over names. Silas, AK Spartan, Riot, Scarecrow, and Nova. Welcome to the show, everybody. On the count of three, get ready to unmute and make the sound of Nernroot. 3, 2, 1.
Crackle, 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 crackle.
This is beautiful. I feel like a conductor. I'm just conducting all of you. Do you think we could take that sound clip and mod it into the game so that when you walk by the Nernroot on the Pridwin, it makes whatever that conglomeration of sounds was? Anybody's into modding out there, that would be amazing.
Are we going to introduce the Robots Redux volume pack?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. We could have BuddyBot just do the voices of every character in the game, so everybody sounds like BuddyBot. That could be another thing we do. Welcome back, everybody. Everyone's already like groaning and like, oh my God, really? Welcome to the show. We're going to get into this. We've only got an hour. We got to respect everybody's time. But we're going to start with the first topic. This is one of a lot of people's favorites to speculate about. It's also one of those perks that almost everyone uses in the game because it's so much fun. The Mysterious Stranger. What's going on with the Mysterious Stranger? We have a character who has been in the games since Fallout 1, has gotten a few different touch-ups and different outfits or whatever, but shows up. And here, I'm going to read what the Fallout Wiki has to say about it. It's not a whole lot. It says, the Mysterious Stranger is an individual that may appear if the player character has the Mysterious Stranger perk, and also the Mysterious Savior in Fallout 76, and utilizes VATS in combat. Background. Here we go. Appearing suddenly, if one has the namesake perk, the Mysterious Stranger can be spotted through the wasteland in his trademark trench coat, hat, and 44 Magnum. And this is the Fallout 3 definition of some of the details are slightly different than the other ones, but same kind of concept. To lend a helping hand in battles, after one's VATS sequence finishes, he will vanish. That's it. That's basically it. We don't really have a whole lot of other lore. Pumpkin King, do you have any other... I know you researched some of these a little bit. Is there anything else you wanted to add on top of this?
So I've heard, you know, just from the areas that I've dug from YouTube to, you know, the wiki, there's people that are like, there's a description that says that he was once a farmer. I don't know where they found that, but they described that, and they described that that's his name and not his occupation.
Weird.
We have the whole thing with the Lonesome Drifter from Fallout New Vegas, who is speculated and kind of, I personally confirm the fact that he, considering he gives you the mysterious Magnum to be the mysterious stranger's son.
Again, just open speculation based on just some names,
yeah,
and titles.
And, there's right. I think there's a description for the Fallout 1 and 2 talking about how he's some sort of eldritch being.
Right.
And he's one of those characters that's got multiple descriptions, but no one can figure out which one's right.
It's also kind of uncanny the fact that he just kind of shows up and helps you out of nowhere, yeah, and then just disappears. I mean, it's clearly a video game function, but story-wise, that's super weird, right?
There is one thing I do want to bring up, and it's the case. You can find a case file in Nick Valentine's detective agency, mm-hmm, called the Mysterious Stranger File, and it goes into how many different places that he has been, from old NCR to, you know, Boston. And it even got, and when he, you have his perk and Nick Valentine as a companion, Nick Valentine will acknowledge his presence,
uh-huh,
and
right,
be like, where is he at? I just saw him. Where'd he go?
Right.
Like that,
right,
sort of thing.
Yeah. So by the time of Fallout 4, you can tell that the creators are playing with the character a little bit more, like he's somehow a real person or something. And yet is still very mysterious. So
hence the name.
Right. Right. So here, let's open this up. Who has some thoughts? And this can be based on anything that you've played through, anything that you, your experiences with the game, fun speculation on what might be happening. Adam, Bonnie, you want to start us off?
I'm thinking something to do with like the Institute. I don't know, like they've managed to get rid of like that blue glow when they teleport. Maybe.
Oh, because that would explain the appearing and disappearing thing, like a teleportation ability.
Yeah. And then you've also got like Nick, who is originally from the Institute. So his sort of insight and knowledge into him as well might kind of like cross over that way.
Right, right. But that also, well, okay, so let's go down that route. If that's the case, then that can explain the events of Fallout 4. It may even explain the events of slightly earlier games, like 3 or 76 in some roundabout way, right? Like, you can kind of stretch it. Synths were a thing, sort of. But what about Fallout 1 and 2, which happened like almost a century before that? Is it a different mysterious stranger?
And I feel like it's something like Dog Meat as well. Kind of takes on like a different role.
Oh, so like same name, different person or different creature or whatever, right? Pumpkin?
I remembered another detail, and this one's out there. So we know the Order of Mysteries, with the Mistress in 76.
Right.
One thing that was talked about is how we don't know where, I can never remember the husband's name, the guy who owns the property and tried to get it started.
Right.
There, no one knows what happened to him, and it's speculative. And there's theories out there talking about how he, after the whole falling out of the Mysteries, he went on to make the Men of Mysteries, the Mysterious Strangers, and all that.
Oh, that's fun. That's, but would he have survived long?
Well, because it's.
Or are these descendants? These are people who
people like he's trained, and the training has kept on going. That kind of deal.
That sounds really cool. Yeah, Adam.
I mean, that's a cool idea, but there's no way of actually knowing that.
Right, right. Yeah, as with any of these things, they're well beyond the realm of being able to prove.
It would explain the training. It would explain him knowing what to do, that sort of thing.
Yeah, Sincere in chat says like Batman Incorporated. Yeah, it's that same kind of thing, mm-hmm, right? Like an organization where they all take on this the mantle of the mysterious stranger, yeah, right?
Fallout London are doing the 007 for their ones. So.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Yeah.
Fallout 4 was my first one, so I thought it was Nick at first.
He does look like him.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've got like the trench coat and the hat and, you know, all of that.
I had the perk before I met
the
Nick,
vault
so then when I did find him, I was so confused. Like, hold on, I've seen you before.
Right.
One thing that's also like the reason that that one, the I can see that one going in is because each mysterious stranger has looked different. Even the 3 and 4 different looks different. The 3 has the trench coat and he looks like a younger gentleman. Whereas if you look at Fallout 4, it's an older gentleman with a full mustache.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I too can get older and grow a mustache. So
3 and 4 take place 10 years apart, though, so it wouldn't be 10 years much apart.
Like he's the young, but the other, but the 1 and 4 looks like a good almost 20 or 30 years.
Yeah, or just
well, live in the,
or just
live
lower poly graphics. That's will reduce wrinkles. Oh man,
or it could be another silver.
Who needs Botox when you just get reduced graphics?
Right, just lower your graphics settings. Clears up all the wrinkles.
Could be another Silver Shroud thing, like someone just took it up because they thought it was cool.
That's true. We do have that, instances
that could also
of
fit into the
yeah
because the mysterious strength the that can fit in with that with
yeah
because the fact that it's the comic book the with the husband what's it what he loved the comic books
Frederick he Rivers
that stood thank you I can never remember
yeah.
his name
yeah I'm so Frederick bad at remembering Rivers. Names too.
Like Frederick Rivers was such this big comic book buff that he could have done that. And I know that they actually were in contact with what's his name from Fallout 4, who actually does like you know the Fallout the Silver Shroud radio.
Oh right, right.
Ken Connolly. Ken, I'm
yeah,
actively
Ken, yeah. Ken Connolly.
Yeah,
Ken,
I was doing the quest and I forgot his name.
Yeah, so
there's a lot of things that could connect. To that.
Yeah, yeah. This is great stuff. We got to move on to some other people. Let them chime in. Silas, you had some thoughts?
I like to think about the idea, especially since you had the episode recently going into Adrian Cole. Mm-hmm. I like to think that it could possibly be a similar type being to him because, I mean, obviously the very, very powerful pistol he carries is a lot like how, you know, you get the alien blaster and it's, you know, a one shot for the first however long of the game. I think that it could be a similar type of thing, how like whenever you shoot at Andrew Colt, he just
disappears.
And it's the same kind of thing, though you don't get any dialogue. I think it could be thought of as a similar type of character.
A cryptid before we had cryptids in 76.
Yeah.
So kind of like a you know, game-spanning cryptid of a similar flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could be.
A more helpful Mothman, if you will.
Right, a more helpful Mothman. Yeah, yeah. I like that. I like that. All right, any other last thoughts on this one before we move on to the next topic? Cooper?
I got an idea.
Yeah?
So in Fallout 1, you know how we see the mysterious strange and everything. What if, like, he just kind of died after Fallout 1, right? Or he went on to Fallout 2. And someone just heard stories of the mysterious stranger and just took up the persona. And that's just what's been happening. Like, you know, someone just gets inspiration, like a vigilante, and they're like, you know what, I'll be him and this and that. And that's just what's happening. It's different people all at different points in the game.
Yeah, it ties into what Pumpkin was saying about, forgot his name again, but the mysterious.
Frederick Rivers.
Yeah, Rivers. Yeah, from the Mistress of Mysteries stuff. Yeah, or Silver Shroud or any other character. Picking up that mantle and like carrying it forward, but it still doesn't explain the whole ability to just disappear and reappear, right? Unless that's like part of their training. Like when you watch like John Wick and he's like, I can do what you do, and like John Wick 3, and then he like disappears behind the glass and it's like, nobody can do that, but I guess you can.
Stealth Boys.
What was that, Pumpkin?
Stealth Boys.
Stealth Boys. Oh, there you go. But there's no sheen. You can see the sheen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for all you know, he could be using Stealth Boys Mark IIs, though, which we don't know exists, but we don't know the actual orientation.
Or the one you can get, you'd start using from Frederick Rivers that you get from that quest.
Oh, so maybe that ties back into it again. So maybe we were getting a solution there. Lil?
There's a lot that could go to this.
Yeah. Lil?
I had one quick thought. Maybe, like, because the only time we ever see the mysterious stranger, correct me if I'm wrong, I haven't played 1 and 2, is when we use vats. So maybe vats is something that only people associated with Vault Tech use. Maybe he was testing it when the bombs dropped and the radiation made it so he stayed in the within the realm of vats.
Oh, so what if he got like sucked into
activated,
the... Oh no!
Whenever it's activated, he just pops up randomly.
Right, like it's a glitch in the vats software that makes him reappear.
So yes. He's computer virus.
Yeah.
He's also dressed like Vault-Tec rep as well, so it could be like a Vault-Tec Persona.
Yeah, the later games. Yeah,
you literally just broke my brain.
That's amazing. So he got Tron'd.
That did not come to any sort of thought with my dating, and it just.
That's a really cool idea. He's like a Tron character.
Like alternatively, like here, let me just put this out there. Nick Valentine can also see him, though. He has a bunch of files inside of his house about him. And as far as we're aware, before we emerged from the vault, there weren't very many other people in the capital, or not the capital, in the Commonwealth. But he still has many sightings and reportings of him from his clients, he has case files on him.
But if it's tied to the software in any Pip-Boy that has the VATS installed, then anybody else who found a Pip-Boy and tried to use it and used VATS may have accidentally summoned him at some point.
Yeah.
So it could be other people out there doing that, right?
I feel bad for him having to deal with the Garys. Oh,
God. The Garys just keep summoning him?
Oh my god.
So that's why that vault is totally wrecked.
Oh, that's amazing.
The other thing would be like, you know, Nick Valentine is a synth, so he's not human. I mean, yes, he's human, but like, aren't synths like a little bit better than like the human?
So in Fallout 3, it also, for VATS, you can get an upgrade from Dr. Zimmerman for VATS. So synths 100%, we may not know this, but they could be able to use VATS.
Yeah. Okay.
So there we go.
That tracks.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that Nick Valentine actively reacts to the presence of the mysterious stranger.
Right, he physically gets pulled out of the software into the world.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why he's able to damage enemies, is because he physically appears for a moment and then gets pulled right back into the Pip-Boy.
Yeah.
Through some sort of weird technology.
Synths
can process visual things better than people, so he probably picks up on it.
Yeah, well, he's also been following it, so he's looking for signs. Right? He's a detective. He's more aware than the average companion.
Yeah.
So when this happens, he's like, wait a minute, I've seen this guy before. What's going on?
Having robot eyes definitely gives you an edge.
Yeah. I know.
Like, VR thing as well. Like, Dima and the VR thing as well.
Yeah.
One of the other things is that people also think that he could also possibly be a synth, like you had brought up robots.
Right, right. Yeah, there's that possibility as well. So that could be a thing as well. So very cool stuff. All right. I think we've done this justice at this point. Let's move on to our next topic. So there is a mystery about the aliens, the Zetans, and their interest in Giddy Up Buttercups. And this is, here's what the wiki says. Giddy Up Buttercup is the name of a robotic toy horse manufactured by Wilson Automatoys before the Great War. Touted as the ultimate in equestrian robotics, it was a toy aimed at a target audience of little girls with a cost of $16,000. Inflation was crazy. A marketing poster featuring the horse is copyrighted 2042. Background: the aliens aboard Mothership Zeta possess a large number of them stacked on racks in the research lab. One particular observation room has a lone buttercup in the center surrounded by five dead test subjects. I love this detail. Alien captive recording log 21 features Sally being taken to the recording room and noticing a Giddy Up Buttercup. The aliens are described as being excited either by her recognition of it or by her happy reaction. If Paulson, Elliot, Corian, I believe that's how you pronounce the name, or Sama, are taken to the buttercups in the research lab, they'll make comments about them. So, Pumpkin, you want to add anything else about this one?
So, I'm going to be real. This one I put on as a joke.
But it's like a real thing. Like,
but yeah, it is a real
thing. It's a mystery.
Like, there was a couple, like I said, on that list, there's a couple that are jokes, like Old Peg, like that one's a joke. But this one, made me really like think about why they had them. Cause like, I think somebody, I was watching somebody that talked about how the count that they had was a maximum of 42 Giddy Up Buttercups in the entire DLC.
Wow. Wow. So that's a lot.
And
yeah.
Yeah. And I've heard someone say, oh, they're going to use him to take over the world. They're going to upgrade him to ride, be able to ride him and all that.
Or like program them to go to war or something. here's the thing. A lot of this stuff, like the meta explanation is one of the developers was just feeling wacky and decided to just put a thing in the game. And then there's no real explanation. They just stuck a thing in there to make us wonder, like, why are there buttercups here? Why are there so many? But of course, that leads to potential for this to become a real thing and have some actual explanation, and maybe we learn more about it in the future, right? So here, let's open this one up. Scarecrow, I don't think you've chimed in yet. Do you have any thoughts about the buttercups and the Zetans, however you want to pronounce it?
I never actually got to play that DLC. My game would never stay working long enough to do.
Oh, okay. But based on this information, do you have any theories on why aliens would be interested in robotic horse toys?
The only thing I can think is maybe they were studying the way we did electronics, trying to figure out our way of doing things to copy it.
Okay. Yeah, and these are fairly simple. It's not like getting a Mr. Handy or something like that. Plus, they seem to be pretty common. You find them all over the place. So they're probably pretty easy to collect. I could see that. All right, who else has some thoughts on this? Who else wants to chime in? Any thoughts? Nova?
I have an idea. So that was one thing that I was thinking of was what Scarecrow said, is that because they're so common, they're very easy to access. It's a good way to see what technological level we as humans are on. The other thing that I was thinking is perhaps it's maybe a cultural obsession, and they're trying to understand why why they're so common in this part of the world, but not this part of the world over here. And so when they abducted the people, they also took some Kitty buttercups. And so Americans, North Americans and Europeans maybe reacted like, I know that thing, I really like it, just like that little girl did, while someone from China or Africa or something like that may just look at it as like, what the heck is that?
And like so a cultural curiosity.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like how Nuka-Cola would be as well.
Right. I've got a theory. Okay, so you've spawned a thought in my mind, and I'm going to throw this out there. Let me know what your thoughts are. These are horses. There are no other horses in Fallout. Right?
There's paintings
of horses.
Apparently there's paintings of them.
Right.
But I think you can see them in New Vegas.
But events of Mothership Zeta in Fallout 3, we do not have horses in any of the games, right? And at this point, the aliens are studying the humans clearly. They're probably wondering what this animal is because they can't find it in nature.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that too. But you do have to remember that the Zeta was there since at least 1969.
Possibly even much sooner.
It's a lot earlier because we have the samurai, so it would be.
Yeah, I forgot about him.
Yeah, it was at least several hundred years. And then I did an episode about that. How then, is it like time dilation, or has the same ship been in service since that long? But then you could also speculate, do the Zetans actually live that long? Or is this like generation upon generation upon generation? They've just kept people cryo frozen. That could be another explanation, right? So maybe this current generation of Zetans are looking at these buttercup horses going, what is this? This isn't an animal. Why do they love this thing so much? And then when like a little girl goes, oh, it's a horse, they're probably like, oh, she knows what it is somehow. What is it?
This coming from like what you said and then what Nova said, it could also be when it comes like aliens, they get excited and so happy when the little girl notices it, but any adult they kind of despise. So could it be like a comfort system for someone of a smaller stature?
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, you have the situation with the bodies of the test subjects, 5 dead test subjects around. Yeah, so
that's one thing that's never talked about.
Right. So have they weaponized the buttercup in order to kill those 5 people? Is that what happened? Like, does this go back to the whole, maybe they're weaponizing these things and I'm going to like let them loose on the population at some point?
Or perhaps it's just a 200-year-old piece of technology that's short circuited, so anyone that touches it just gets electrocuted.
Maybe.
I mean, it has a fission battery in it. It's not really a leap of logic to think that it still have a lot of charge and it's 200 years old, so
yeah, by
faulty.
By Fallout logic, that could totally track. Absolutely.
Well, that depends. Is it run by nuclear power?
That's a fission battery.
Sure. Fission batteries. Yeah. Okay. Most things have fission batteries in them.
Fission batteries, you know, use plutonium to power it. It's going to last for like it's a half, like a 6,000 years. So
That's
that's one thing that I think is the funniest thing is why they're obsessed and it's never explained. And I get that like Mothership Zeta is a goofy DLC all on its own.
Right. Right.
You should be asking if anybody else has thoughts. So I don't know why. I just said it.
No, that's totally fine. Who else wants to chime in? AK Spartan, you have any thoughts on the Buttercups?
Yeah, I had a theory because so in Fallout 4, when you go to the Wilson headquarters, you can find out that that factory that makes the Buttercups was also either can't remember if they were already doing it or were in talks of doing it, but they were going to start making munitions for the U.S. government.
Right.
And so my thought was that possibly the Zetans, like, because obviously the Zetans are scouting and taking from all sorts of areas and different things and kind of just collecting knowledge. Like maybe they were aware of that. Like they found out that Wilson was going to do that, and they thought maybe these horses were already going to be weapons.
This is a type of ammo, and they can't figure out how to use it.
Yeah, like they couldn't understand, and so maybe that's why. Like there's those bodies is like they weaponized it because they thought it was a weapon, thought it was a terrible weapon because they couldn't figure out how to kill anything with it, and then made it a real weapon.
That's a fun idea. Yeah, like okay, they're making ammunition. We know what these bullets and shells do, but what is this thing, and how is it a weapon? And then now they're just obsessed with it,
like a weapon.
Right. Right.
So just for context, that is called Project Scythe, and they were making landmines for the army.
Okay, yeah, so there you go.
That's what it is. Yeah, that's what it is.
And,
yeah.
And it was the, I totally forgot his name, the guy who made the Buttercups, that was his, wasn't it like his son his or like son. Someone yeah. he's related to?
Yeah, because Glass, his last name is Glass, I don't remember his first name, he stepped down from his seniorship position, either CEO or CSO or something like that.
Yeah.
He gave it to his son as an apology because he spent his entire life developing the Giddy Up Buttercup brand. And so he didn't have time to spend with his son. And so he gave the reins over to his son, no pun intended. And then his son turned around immediately, turned to the U.S. Army and said that he and started going into talks with the Army about weaponizing the manufacturing line to create landmines.
Yeah, that's fun. That's fun. So, yeah, so they're spending all this time now trying to figure out, like, how is this a weapon? I like that. It's a walking landmine.
They already have those on.
Maybe that's China. What they're trying.
But maybe that's what they think it is. And they're like, how is this thing explosive? It's not explosive.
Who says that that's the only Giddy Up Buttercup that's in that room with the five bodies? Who said that's the first one?
Right.
It could have been five more and they just put another one there.
Right.
You just hear a neigh in like a stampede of Giddy Up Buttercups coming charging down the hill and exploding when they're next to people.
These little walking kamikaze drones. if any of the creators of Fallout are listening,
Arlinglass.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of little mini Trojan horses.
Yeah. This needs to be in a future game. Anytime you see aliens show up somewhere, there should also be these little buttercups walking around that like, doo, 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 they lock in on you and then just hone in and explode. That's amazing.
One Zane should have a pink one on a leash for like a pet.
Oh my gosh.
That'd be great.
There are mods that you can actually get as like, you know, Giddy Up Buttercups as companions.
That's fun. That's fun. Or like the monkey, like the creepy monkey. I think there's a mod where the monkey follows you around.
Jangles and
the
monkey.
Jangles will follow you.
There's the Jangles, but then there's also the clapper monkeys.
The clapper monkeys. Yeah.
I shoot every one of those I see.
Yeah. Yeah. They're super creepy. All right. It's time to go thank our patrons. Thank you, everybody. So if we go ahead and mute again, I'm going to go thank our patrons and we will be right back in a little bit to talk about some more mysteries. So don't go anywhere.
With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Whether you're looking to buy your dream home or rent a sweet apartment, give Redfin your gotta-have-it wish list of property features, and you'll receive real-time notifications tailored just for you. Ready to see it up close and personal? Scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Don't wait to find your perfect match. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
This is where I get to thank our patrons. Thank you to all of you for joining me and supporting the show. Everybody here, everybody on the Patreon, we don't have any new ones to shout out this week, but we do have our sentry bots to shout out every week. Cooper, Germinator, Larry D., Mark C., and Sky R., thank you so much for your support. And to everybody who supports this show, we're at currently 88 current patrons, so 12 away from 100. Maybe we'll get to 100. Who knows? But if you are interested in checking out all the different things you can get from supporting the show, then go to patreon.com/falloutlorecast. You can get ad-free episodes. You can join us on chats like this, t-shirts and stickers, all sorts of things. So go check that out. And thank you again for all of your support. Also, we don't have any new reviews this week, but if you'd like to leave a review, a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, I'll read that out on a future episode. Plus, you can rate the show on Spotify if you listen on Spotify, and you can even comment on some of the most recent episodes and say what you liked about each of the episodes. All of that stuff is extremely helpful. And so if we've done anything to help you get through your workday or your commute or anything like that, and you want to say thanks, there's lots of different ways to help me out. So I appreciate all of the support from the community. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
All right, so we've got another mystery, friends. This one I've talked about before. It is experiment NRT-0001. This is the instance of finding Nernroot from the Elder Scrolls games on the Pridwin. It's a different color. It's blue. It's a little bit different, but it's basically the same model. And I don't remember if it was talking to Nate Perkypile or one of the developers on some interview somewhere, but they'd mentioned that this was one of those fun things they did. It's a little Easter egg. They were like, you know what we could put on the Pridwin? We just take these models from the other game and stick it over here and see if anybody notices. And so, of course, there's that meta description of like, oh, the developers thought this would be fun. Let's just throw it in, see what people do. But of course, that leaves open-ended questions. You know, like some people speculate that means that the two universes are the same. Pete Hines has commented that's absolutely ludicrous. It's not the case. It's just fun to use a character model or an object model in one game and another. So that's not what this means. But does it mean something else? Why are the Brotherhood studying this funny blue plant that you can't seem to find anywhere else in the environment? What is it? And here's the wiki entry for it. It says, the basis of this experimental plant was a root found by a Brotherhood of Field scribe at the mouth of a river. The root displayed unique chemical properties, prompting the scribe to graft it onto a hardier stock for further testing and hybridization. The result was a leafy plant with thick roots, and after being determined safe to ingest, it was brewed into an oddly good tea. And that's a quote from one of the characters. Soon after, other samples of the plant began to exhibit a form of bioluminescence. As we know, the Nernroot can glow, and it makes like a chiming sound that we all imitated perfectly at the beginning of the episode. The scribe deduced that the leaf must have restorative properties due to how healthy they felt, but other scribes suggested that the tea should no longer be brewed and that the plant is addictive in nature. That's about it. They've been calling it the glow leaf. That's what the scribes call it, just colloquially, that's a hard word. So, Pumpkin, did you have any other thoughts on this one you wanted to share?
So, I would just like to know where and how they found it. I know they found it at the mouth of a river, but like what river?
What river? Right. Where specifically?
With them saying that it could be addictive makes me kind of think that it could be there could be like a tobacco mixed in there.
Yeah, or something else, like any other type of addictive plant. There's
a lot of
there are a number of them.
A couple of kind of different types of leaves.
Yes, yes, you could say it that way. Sure, yeah. There's lots of plants that have addictive properties. Absolutely. The weed one, not so addictive, but some people think it is.
They didn't say it was highly addictive. They said it was just kind of addictive. That's why I think tobacco over anything else.
Right. Right. I mean, caffeine, you could say, is kind of addictive, even though it's not actually, it doesn't have a chemical addictive property to it, but you feel good when you drink it, so therefore you want more of it. Kind of like sugar is addictive in that sense, you know?
I with this one, I really don't have much to go on with this, so
Yeah,
I'm
it gives you 10 hit points if you ingest it and 5 radiation. Those are the only stats we have it, and it has a weight of 0.1. So, who has some thoughts on this one? Anybody? Cooper?
I got one. I like the thought of the Dragonborn, right? Never finishing that quest to find all the Nurnroot. He just misses that one. And some Brotherhood scribe just has to just find it, and now they can't do anything with it because it's presumably it's just useless at this point. So I think it's just funny. I think that's just hilarious to think about that the Dragonborn never got to finish that.
So the events of Skyrim are just way in the past of the events of Fallout.
That's what I would
earlier
say.
Earth, and then this is now later.
Right,
kind of
right.
Deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the whole, like, they're in the same universe thing that Pete Hines has shot down on multiple times. but it's a fun thing to think about. It's kind of a fun idea, right? Any other thoughts on this one? Silas?
You said...
Oh, let Raya go first.
Oh, go for it.
Oh,
right?
Sorry.
Go ahead.
You said it glows blue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just a plant someone accidentally spilled the Nuka-Cola Quantum on.
It's like it drank up all the quantum and got all like in the leaves and stuff.
The cobalt from the quantum.
Yeah, maybe someone was walking down by a river.
It's cesium, not cobalt.
Cesium,
yeah.
So they're walking down by the river with their Nuka-Cola quantum.
Strontium, I mean, not cesium. Strontium 90.
That sounds more familiar. So they're walking down the river. They accidentally trip and spill. And then there's this little plant, and then the plant's like, yummy Nuka-Cola, and it just grows up. And now it's glowing blue.
There is the Nuka-Quantum River in Nuka World.
There is that.
True.
But we don't see any Nurnroot there.
Dyed blue.
Yeah, but there's also no river. And if it was found at the mouth of the river, you assume its seeds floated from upriver.
Yeah.
And so it's probably like an inland plant that just mutated over. Like, honestly, it kind of just sounds like it might be a cave-dwelling plant or something like that. It's using the bioluminescence to attract insects into it. Or not a cave-dwelling, okay. like a forest-dwelling plant. It's using the bioluminescence to draw insects to it for pollination purposes.
Right, something that typically is in darker climate of some sort.
If you look at it in the 76 sense, it could be in an area that was once nuked, and it's just a plant that's just had that property added to it from a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, but everything glowing always glows green, though, not blue in Fallout.
Yeah, quantum is one of the few blue glowy things.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
What does Silas have to say?
What is what? Silas, go ahead. Go ahead.
I like the idea of the opposite, that the Fallout universe, which is our universe, is the precursor to Skyrim. And that because of the radiation and everything, you know, messing up the people's things, that eventually some people can learn how to use fire. Some people can use how to use magic. And it just slowly builds and builds and builds. And then our world turns into Skyrim. So that Nurnroot is the first Nurnroot that grows out all the rest of the ones.
Yeah, so it was like somehow mutated due to the radiation and stuff. Turns into a different plant over time. Continues to evolve. Eventually changes color.
So did the tunnelers or the Deathclaws turn into the Argonians?
Both.
They merged.
They merged.
Deathclaws.
Yeah, and all the technology from this world eventually became the technology of the Dwemer, and then they disappeared.
Exactly.
That's actually a really good thought.
Are Dwemer's ghouls? Question mark?
I mean, technically they're elves, but what are elves? Maybe elves are just mutated people with longer ears?
But, and that could be the thing, is we only know what's happening, you know, in the United States. We don't know how things are going on in other continents and other countries. So other mutations could be going on, and all these people are coming to the US or wherever.
I will agree. Like, I do think that we have seen characters from other countries come to the United States after the bombs have dropped. Cause I think Tenpenny's from from Europe.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Tenpenny's from Europe. So,
and the Babrob twins are from Ukraine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there, it could. We do know a little bit about how the world is doing.
Right. And honestly, you don't know what is happening in China because they were mass producing chemical and biological weapons. For all we know, when the nukes went off, those could just spill down into the environment. And all of a sudden you have a super mutagenic strain of virus, or
you just have a giant cloud of green,
or just a much more dire wasteland that nobody survived in.
Or that too.
Any of those things. All right, so back to this one. Anybody else have any thoughts about this specific plant? And it's NRT, which sounds like Nernroot.
I'm pretty sure that's why they did it. And also, of course, Spartan, what did you have to say?
No, I was just, so it's just my first thought was, because it's interesting, because it looks like Nernroot, but the way it's described and the way we're talking about it, it sounds a lot more like moon sugar.
Okay.
Like an Elder Scrolls comparison because of the addictive stuff. And like nothing about Nernroot is really, to my knowledge, was ever like addictive.
Yeah, it's not, you can use it in chemical
potions.
That was
just my first thought. Yeah. But then, so like going on to like, why would the Brotherhood be studying it? My thought would be, if we're going with sticking within that, like Pete Hines has debunked that or whatever, and I'm playing within those rules, like, I guess my thought would be that they're trying to, because it's clearly affecting all of their people in a very wide range of ways. Mm-hmm. That possibly they're trying to study it as a way to use it as influence over people in the Commonwealth and other areas, because like we get missions in 4 where you have to go start getting food supply lines for the Brotherhood and stuff. Like, they don't have all of that like just set up like everywhere they go. And so like it's probably a lot easier to be able to like drop something in the water supply if like there is a water supply, or like mess with somebody's food, or like study this or that, than it is just like go in and shoot everybody.
Sure. If it's a, you know, a plant that could damage them, but if it also just has healing properties like some of them think, then it's also beneficial for them as well. Yeah.
Yeah. In a more mainline way. Yeah.
Right. Either way, it's still beneficial to study it. So you've got a point.
And even if they're just to study, they're still the Brotherhood, and they're going to, if they find something that interests them, they're still going to study it. Like they do that with, they did it throughout the entire series. So it's not really out of their character to find some unique plant. Like, oh my gosh, what is this? We're going to take it back to the lab. We're going to have the scribes look over it, and then we're going to decide if it's beneficial or not.
Yeah, I mean, that's the role of the scribes, really. Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So that totally makes sense. Any other thoughts on this one? Anyone else who hasn't chimed in? Adam or Lil Green? Scarecrow? No other thoughts on this one? All right, let's move on to the last one. All right, and here, I'm going to hand this off to Pumpkin. We're talking about the Pint-Sized Slasher. This is the character inside Tranquility Lane that is murdering everybody. It's the little kid who's murdering everybody.
So the backstory for the Pint-Sized Slasher is that he is a adolescent that runs around with a clown mask on, striped black and white shirt, blue jeans, and like a canvas type shoe, running around murdering people with
a toy knife.
Just a kitchen. It's a kitchen knife.
Yeah.
It's not a toy knife. It's a kitchen knife. And it's either told as like, you know, like a boogeyman type of story,
or pre-war
with certain pre-war a boogeyman kind of story, but with things that you can discover after, you know, post-war, it kind of pushes in the fact that he could be an actual person.
Actual person before the bombs dropped.
Yes.
So there was an actual Pint-Sized Slasher, and then that story got circulated. And so moms would tell their kids like, don't stay out too late. The Pint-Sized Slasher will come and get you. And then on top of that, this became the second most popular Halloween costume. After Captain Cosmos, I believe, was the most popular Halloween costume, the year before the bombs dropped, or the year when the bombs dropped. The question is like, is this a real character? Was this a real person?
So in, I think it's Point Lookout. That's the Fallout 3 one, Point Lookout. Mm-hmm. You can find 2 separate masks that are the Pint-Sized Slasher masks. Now, one of them could be a costume mask because you find it in the cave with the little kid. I can never remember what I don't. It's been a long time since I've played Point Lookout.
Yeah, that's fine. That's how all of this stuff is at this point.
It's like in a it's in a dumpster where like just in the back of his area. And it's that one could easily be the a costume. Whereas the other one that you can find is the one that I kind of look at more as being, it could possibly be the one.
Like the real mask from the real slasher.
Yeah. So in it's the hotel room that it's the same hotel that you go to do the Chinese spy quest, but it's in a separate room. In the separate room, you find, and it's just filled with body parts, corpses, and skeletons. And in the pot, if you go into the bathroom, you can find, I think it's either on a skeleton or it's just on top of a pile of bodies, the pint of a mask for the pint size slasher.
So either this is the real location of the pint size slasher and these bodies have been here for a very long time, or somebody who knew the story thought it would be hilarious
to put
a mask in a location with a bunch of bodies and make people go, oh, the Pine Slice Slasher did this.
It's just one of those characters that we'll never get a full grasp on.
Right. Right.
There's the whole Creation Club thing that they brought, but that was supposedly a ghoulified person that had just gone insane.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's open this up. Who has thoughts about this one? You guys think this was a real person, Cooper?
Who was the dude who in Fallout 3 you go to the vault with the simulators? Who's the guy who actually plays the pint size slasher?
That was
Stanislaus
Braun. You're thinking about the guy who went crazy.
Yeah,
yeah.
This is a long shot. This is like past the moon and everything. But what if he, as a little kid, was the pint size slasher and got away with everything, right? And that's why he puts you as the pint size slasher, because he's like a sadistic person who loves doing these experiments and everything like that. So he makes you live what he had to do.
That's a really interesting idea, because he is sadistic.
Yeah.
Sorry,
go ahead.
Well, that's impossible, because he was in Germany until like 10 years before. Before he moved to the United States.
But maybe he was, and the pint size slasher was in Germany, and then word got spread around the globe, and people in the US.
And like he spread it.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe they thought, oh, this is just some story people tell overseas, but it's
isn't
a fun
it
story.
Like, the story starts out either a couple of decades before the bombs drop, though?
So sometime in late July 2052, the pint-sized slasher...
It's about 2 decades. Almost.
Right, right. So supposedly committed the Linden Street slayings. That's what it says on the wiki. Capital Post writer Walter Monroe wrote a top story regarding the incident. Monroe included quotes from the then police officer Joseph Field and the sole survivor Christopher Atkinson, who watched his brother Sean die in front of him. So according to that news article, this is a real thing that happened, but it may have been sensationalized, right? Like, who knows?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, because there's another thing. There's a in the insane asylum that you can go to in four. You can find a terminal that talks about how there's an adolescent kid who had been admitted into the asylum, but that's maybe two or three years before the bombs drop, and not
right.
2 decades.
Yeah. This person would have been an adult by then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bonnie, did you have something?
Yeah,
I was kind of going along the Braun thing as well, where maybe his idea was to try and like condition people to become like versions of the slasher.
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty messed up. Like, he designed a lot of the experiments to do all sorts of messed up things. So, sure, that could be a thing. Yeah. Anybody else have thoughts on this one? Everybody's looking around. No other thoughts? It's one of those fun bits of just, you know, like, there was a little kid terrorizing people, you know, 20 years before the bombs dropped, 25 years. Was that a real thing, Lil?
I mean, a thought just popped into my head. Like, the movie, what was it, Orphan? Where it's like a little girl, but it's really a full grown adult in like a girl's body or something like that. Maybe kind of the same situation. But like, so like the person's like old enough to like kind of like, you know, know what they're doing, and it's just like sick and twisted.
Or has like a growth thing where they just don't, they yes. don't fully develop into a full size adult, so they look like a little kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but like, you know, no one's able to like really like get an eye, you know, like a, like know what they look like because it's an innocent child that gets away easily.
Right. Right.
Or, it you know, like they call wrong. The cops and they're scared because their parents are dead. Yeah, so I could see like it being someone, but like a real thing in the, like the Fallout universe. So that's just my little tidbit of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cooper, do you have any other thoughts?
Yeah. I never actually bought the, pint size slasher, whatever it was for Fallout 4. Is there like something that makes sense why the ghoul has the pint size slasher gear? Or is it just like in the game where they just,
it goes how he had been scouting, and he had been in one of his areas that he had been looting. He had been seeing this. It was a costume shop that he had been in, and he could see that there's this pint size slasher suit, and it's the last one in the store. And he just over time, because like at that moment when he was sane, it wasn't useful to him. But as he's slowly losing his mind, he starts believing that, I'm him. I'm the one. I'm him. And he ends up going and taking it. And then you find him in one of the metro tunnels, and he uses a stealth boy to hide from you until you find a piece of paper that says, "Look behind you."
Nice.
That's terrifying.
It's, guy is just insane. That's how that story goes.
Well, maybe that's how, like, because there's the original pint size slasher. What if like people got so attached to it that more kids actually decided to be the pint size slasher?
Like an inspired,
like a kid version, like a following, of the like a cult. Stranger kind of deal.
Like something like that, or like a cult of
imagine that being a perk called the pint size slasher, and you hit mats, and it's just a kid with a knife.
But instead of attacking your enemies, it attacks you. It's like a negative perk. It's like, oh no, it's being attacked by a little clown again.
Kick
crap!
Kick it! Oh my gosh!
Get out of here!
Wait a second. Another thought. So, like, if we're doing like a negative perk, it's if you're ever mean to kids with with the Wild Wasteland activated. If you're ever mean to a kid, just randomly, you get a pint-sized slasher coming up, just like the mysterious stranger.
I like it. I like it. I like it.
Stab you in the thigh.
Bonnie, you got something?
Yeah, Bonnie.
No, I was just gonna say, it's for those who downloaded that mod to go after Little Lamp, like.
yeah don't go to Little Lamplight and beat up all the kids, because you're gonna end up with a whole bunch of pint-sized slashers coming after you.
Yeah, I'd say more than one pint-sized slasher.
Yeah man, a whole bunch of them. Well, this has been super fun. You have any last thoughts to there, Pumpkin?
I'm happy that we finally got around to doing some mysteries.
has been great.
And if you want some idea, I know you've got some ideas for like some of the mysteries on the list for yourself. I know the mysterious stranger, we did talk about it, but there's still a lot more that I feel like you could probably dig from that.
Cool. Yeah. I might, who knows, maybe I'll highlight some of these on future episodes. Some of them are very like spooky, so they feel very like Halloween-y.
The whole Cabot stuff.
Yeah, Fogmother, Dunwich. I've talked about Dunwich before. There's a number of on here that I might save for like Halloween time, because it's always fun to highlight some spooky stuff around then.
Yeah, which is totally fine.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate you coming up with the list and doing a little bit of research around these.
And if any of y'all have ideas for that list, please shoot them my way. That's a list that will be forever growing.
Pumpkin King's going to keep the mysterious list going. And we're about to head out, so we're going to go through and say goodbye to everybody. While I'm talking to you, Pumpkin King, do you have anything you want to shout out? Any projects you're doing? Things you want to share?
Well, like last time, I do have my Twitter. I haven't been able to post any cosplays because of, well, it's been either too hot or I've been too busy. But if you want to check me out, I think, give me a second. I got to remember what the thing is.
What the Twitter account was?
It's, you can look me up on Twitter at the pumpkin. My name is the Pumpkin King, with the E being a 3 and the 2 I's being 1s. But my at is Pumpkin the, with the 1, with the I being a 1 and the 3 and the E being a 3. And if you ever want to just talk to me and you know, talk, you can shout me out. You can call me out on the Discord.
Yeah. And I think that applies for most of us. So if there's somebody you want to be like, hey, I heard what you said on the show, let's talk a little bit more about that. Feel free to do so on the Discord. So thank you, Pumpkin King. Here, let's go through everybody else too. Lil Green, going back to the top of where I see everybody. Thanks for joining. Anything you want to shout out that you've been working on?
Nah, not really. I've just been kind of working a lot again. It's the busy season for me. But yeah.
What's your website for photos if people are interested?
You can either find me on Instagram at littlegreen_photography or littlegreenphotography.com. I am in the middle of gathering all the stuff to update my website because it's old. if you ever want to talk to me on the server, you could also, you know, reach out to me that way. And even if you're like new to photography and have questions, I'm really willing to help out and teach you a thing or two if you want as well.
That's awesome. There you go. Free advice, everybody. Very cool. Cooper, thanks for joining us. You got anything you want to share?
No, I'm just glad to be here, and I'm glad I joined the chat and had a nice little talk.
Yeah, man. He had some really fun ideas, too. So thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Adam Bonnie, thanks for joining us again. Anything you want to share?
Just what's behind me. I do that stuff.
The art.
Tumblr.
The art.
It's in-game screenshots. So I do like all the like pose them and all of these weird stuff. So
Right.
I'm really proud of this one.
Nice. Yeah, very cool stuff.
They're singing karaoke, if you can actually see the mic.
That's great. Yeah, that's definitely a talent. That's very cool. Well, thanks for joining us again. Silas, you're up next. You got anything you want to share?
Not really. I've been experiencing Skyrim VR, and I have a trusty little bottle of Dramamine next to me anytime I try to dive in, so I don't, you know, nice. Feel sick after 15 minutes.
Have you tried the mods that allow you to touch people and pick things up?
No, not yet.
Oh my god.
I still need to try to figure out how to properly do mods on it.
Oh my god. All right, so Skyrim Nexus, you just need to download a program that allows you to install them and then connect everything up. There's a bunch of tutorials on YouTube. I'm sure you can find it, but look up, I don't remember the names of them, but there are two mods you absolutely want to get that allow you to do things like actually pick up, like you can grab people by the face. Like you can change the parameters. Like I put some videos up on the Robots Radio Funny Stuff channel a while back. So like when the little kids in the village run up and yell at you, I can just pick them up and throw them. And it's so good. But yeah, if you get to the point where you want to mess around with it, so there's a bunch of mods out there for cool stuff.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, have fun with that. Thanks for joining us. AK Spartan, you got anything going on you want to share?
Not anything to promote. I'm on the Discord, AK Spartan. I'm in the Lorecasters Guild on ESO PCNA, if anybody wants to hang over there. And I jumped on the Elder Scrolls Lorecast the same time I signed up for the patron tier for this. So I'm on this show and that, so you guys will see me there. But I'm not really working on any projects or anything. Obviously, this is my first Fallout Lorecast, but from my standpoint, I said it on the Elder Scrolls Lorecast last week, but I've been either working in school or both for basically 9 years. So I'm pretty much just putting the brakes on all of it. Finally deciding to kind of just step back and relax a little bit. So if anybody wants to play some games and hang out, I have more time than ever to do that.
Nice.
So find me any of those places and we can get some stuff going. But other than that, nothing to promote.
Nice, nice. Yeah, a lot of people keep asking, like, is anyone playing Fallout 76? Is anyone playing Fallout 76? A lot of people are on PC. A lot of people are on other platforms. It's unfortunate that we don't have, like, an official guild system in the game. That would be easier. But feel free to jump into the Discord. Make sure you go to the rules and roles section and click on I like Fallout, and then the Fallout channels will show up. And then in there you can say things like, hey, I want to play with other people. Here's my name. Friend me up. Let me know if you guys want to play. And it's starting to take a little bit of steam. I've noticed people in the chat room hanging out a few times playing the game together. So if that's something that you're interested in, or anybody else, feel free to check out the Discord for that, for other people to hook up with. Riot, thanks for joining us. You got anything going on?
Not really. I just started listening to the podcast again for a while. I'm still pretty early into it. I've just been playing the four different Fallout games I have on my Xbox now. Because of the podcast, I actually started playing New Vegas in 3.
Nice.
I started with 4.
Nice. But so for the first time to play those? That's great.
I started playing Fallout 4 like 3 years ago, and that was my first exposure to Fallout, and I was like immediately hooked.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
I don't know if it's nostalgia bias, but my Fallout 4 is my favorite one.
Yeah, well, it's newer by a number of years. The mechanics are a little bit more fleshed out. But there are a lot of people who will say that the other ones have better stories. So if you get through the mechanics part, you might enjoy the stories more. It just, everybody has different experiences. So that's awesome.
Well, I'm stuck in a basement with Nightkin on New Vegas right now, so I'll figure out what's happening.
That's great. Okay. I think I know where you are. Very cool. Well, good luck with that. Thanks for joining us. And then Scarecrow, thanks for making this work while you're at work.
Yeah, it's kind of loud here because as a dishwasher, it gets really loud at work.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. I used to work at Taco Bell when I was in high school, and I had to wash the dishes a lot.
Yeah, I wouldn't know in a fast food restaurant. This is more of a sit-down restaurant.
So. Yeah, it's probably nicer than what I was working in back then. Maybe not. I don't know.
Probably.
But do you have anything you want to share?
No, just find me on Discord. And Little Green, your photography is awesome. I follow you. You just won't recognize my name on there.
Stealth follow. That's pretty cool. That's awesome. And then Nova, you're wrapping us up again. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to be here. Currently, I'm working on a video about the pre-war U.S. military. You can find that on my YouTube channel probably in like a week or two once I get around to finishing it, because I've been working my butt off a lot loose recently. Nova or Super in 0VA, Nova's all capital. Besides that, I'm always on Discord or Telegram. I like to talk about dogs, guns, military, stuff like that. if you're ever interested in and want someone to talk with that about, I will probably respond like 5 minutes if you send me a message.
Awesome. Yeah, go check out Nova Supernova's videos. And yeah. All right, well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Chat, thank you for being here for the live stream. I know I don't live stream all of these because a lot of them are just me, and just me recording by myself isn't particularly interesting. Plus, I edit while I record, so that would be super weird to live stream. But but thank you for being here for the community and the Patreon live stream as well. I'll be back not next week, actually. Next week, I am on vacation. Some friends of ours invited us to go on vacation with them. Some one of my best friends from college and his family and my sons in between ages of his two sons. And so it's pretty cool. We're going to have a lot of fun, but I'll be gone for most of that week. So I'm going to take a week off, because I don't do that very often. So it'll be fun.
How dare you take a week off?
How dare I? How dare I? I put out a lot of content. So, and then I always feel bad. I'm always like, but can I take a week off? And it's like, you know what? If it was a normal job, you could take a week off. So go take a week off. So that's what I'm going to do. But thank you for being here. And I will be back in just a few weeks. And until then, stay safe out there in the wasteland. I'll see you next time. Bye, everybody. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a United Healthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about United Healthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.